The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
She said that not only President Trump, but his supporters are white supremacists. How does she still have a job? Also consider the February 13th broadcast of ABC's The View. Co-host Joy Behar and Sonny Hostin suggested that Christianity is, quote, and I'm quoting them, dangerous, and that Christians, and again, I'm quoting them, Christians suffer from mental illness. In response, the show's advertisers have come under tremendous pressure to sever ties with these anti-Christian bigots. This pattern shows the company is willing to take a reputational and a financial hit just so long as it's in service to bashing conservatives and religious Americans.
That was Justin Danhoff. He's the general counsel for the National Center for Public Policy Research, and he was there at that Disney shareholder meeting confronting Bob Iger about how Disney's conducting itself, ABC and ESPN and all of this liberalism going on at their companies, asking them to account for it. Justin joins us now. Justin, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Vince. Good morning, Mary.
Thank you very much for doing this. Very interested. This is something, now, I just want to figure this out. You do this kind of routinely where you kind of go and confront companies because, I guess, are you a shareholder in each of these companies and then take advantage of that to be outspoken at these shareholder meetings?
That's right. We're the one group on the right of center that realized that liberal organizations have been doing this and doing this very effectively for decades. So we're an investor in lots of major corporations, and I kind of go in and poke the bear when it needs poking.
It must be kind of difficult, even in an environment like that, to get up to the microphone. How do you navigate that, that you actually get to be one of the people doing the questioning?
That takes practice and skill and time at it. It hasn't always gone smoothly, but you know, we're there to ask important questions that otherwise are being asked from a keyboard and never being answered,
right?
I think that, especially with this instance with Bob Iger and what Joy Behar had said on The View, you know, hundreds of millions of Christians were offended by what she said. And she has apologized, we learned from my questions, Mr. Iger. She has apologized directly to Vice President Pence.
That's right.
But I really think a public apology is necessary because what she did was public and what she did offended people publicly. And so we're calling on her and the producers at The View to have her publicly apologize to Christians that she offended.
So is the Vice President of the United States. He said that last night on Sean Hannity's program. But here is Bob Iger's response, which you just referenced, to your question at the Disney shareholder meeting last week.
First of all, Joy Behar apologized to Vice President Pence directly. She made a call to him and apologized, which I thought was absolutely appropriate.
Okay.
I happen to take exception with what she said. I don't think it was right, and I was glad to hear that she apologized. You said, I know you've been to other meetings in the past. You and I have agreed to disagree on these issues. Not that some of the things that you raise are, you know, don't have some validity, but I don't agree with everything that you said.
Now, Justin, I noticed that when you were in the room and you asked the question, that there was some scattered applause. Did you find that people actually were warm to your approach here?
Yeah, they were, because, again, there were so many millions of Americans that were offended by not just what Joy Behar said, but what's been going on at ESPN. A lot of sports fans have been turning off the network because we have folks like Jemele Hill calling the president of the United States a white supremacist. And let's not forget, she was also referencing President Trump's supporters as white supremacists. So in the room, there were many conservatives and there were many Christians who felt that I was giving them a voice that they otherwise didn't have. And this all goes to show the power of showing up, right? A few years ago, you may recall that on Easter Sunday, the Google Doodle that Google decided to place was of Cesar Chavez on Easter Sunday. Conservatives and Christians across the country were outraged, writing blogs and newspaper articles. Well, I decided maybe I'll just go to the Google shareholder meeting and see what Eric Schmidt and Larry Page have to say about what they did. Well, all the conservatives that were outraged, I went and I got an apology for all of us because I said, hey, you offended everybody. Do you even realize you did this? And of course, in their small little bubble in Silicon Valley, they didn't realize that they had offended so many people. So they apologized to everybody.
This is pretty amazing.
Again, the power of showing up.
I like this strategy. Go ahead, Mary.
You know what I find interesting, though, as I'm listening to all this, and I remember I heard what you did, is that the Media Research Center is had launched a campaign to get people to call in to tell ABC that they're outraged. Got about 30,000 people to call. Conservatives don't do this very well. If this had been the other way around, and this had been a conservative who had said something about liberals, they would have already been off the air because liberals are very good at rallying the troops. Conservatives are not. And I don't see her apologizing publicly. And I think if she does, it's going to be half-hearted. It's going to be quite clear that she was forced to do this, that she doesn't believe it, and she's going to hide behind being a comedian. And conservatives are going to have to say, okay, well, at least she apologized. Why are conservatives so bad at this?
It's a collective action problem on the right, and you're absolutely right, Mary, but I will say this much. A few years ago, I don't even think we would have gotten a private apology out of her to Vice President Pence, so I think conservatives are slowly waking up to the idea that activism doesn't have to be a scary word that, is only for the left. That's the way conservatives have operated for so long. We're very happy to write the very best white paper and send it around to everybody and sit behind our desk and cream, and we're going to win ideas. And that activism is only for the left. It's a dirty word coming out of the 70s that we don't want any part of.
And
I think conservatives are slowly realizing that strategy is self-defeating and that we need to be out there engaging in the battle.
A couple quick questions for you here, Justin. One, I noted that Bob Iger said something to you like, oh, I've heard from you before. Have any companies started to kind of catch on to the fact that you're asking uncomfortable questions of them in these shareholder meetings and in any way tried to stop you from asking questions?
Well, Disney sure did at the last shareholder meeting. They tried to. They actually had plants brought in to praise Bob Iger before I wiggled my way to the microphone. So, yes, it just very recently happened. But no, I think generally companies, it's best practice for them to try and actually engage because once a year at a shareholder meeting is the only time that they actually have to answer publicly to their investors.
Right.
So most CEOs have thick enough skin that they'll try and engage with me at least once.
And then on the other thing, you mentioned Google. A lot of conservatives are very concerned with big tech companies these days and that social media companies are using their power in an inordinate way to censor their conversations or at least will begin like not look so generously on those conversations when they're making these considerations. Are you planning on or have you begun tackling Google, Twitter, and Facebook, among others, on that subject?
Absolutely. They're on the radar. I've already started a few years ago. You'll recall that Facebook was outed by some of its own former employees for messing with its news feed.
Yes.
Well, a lot of conservatives are outraged. Once again, we are the only group that went to the shareholder meeting and I confronted Mark Zuckerberg to his face. And that's when they changed the algorithm to remove the human element. And so, again, it's such a powerful effect of just showing up. And I urge conservatives to come to our website at nationalcenter.org. Track me down. I can teach you exactly how we do what we do. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, it's definitely, we always hold government accountable, but we often underappreciate how powerful some of these big companies are and the way they influence our lives. Justin Danhof, you seem to be attuned to it. Thank you. Really appreciate your insight and for creating such interesting content for us as well to be able to share
Thanks
with
so
the
much.
World.
Have a great morning.
You too. 8:15 here on WMAL.